The best way to kill a zombie is to whack it in the head with an axe. Or shooting. A few bullets to the brain can do the trick too. But it's not so easy to kill off the zombie trend that began 50 years ago with George Romero's Night of the Living Dead and carries on today with the wildly successful TV series The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. In Night of the Living Dead, a tale of disorder and survival, the leading man is an African American. Although the film was released during the civil rights movement, Romero claimed he was not making a political statement. He just cast the best actor for the role. But what Romero intended was viewed in a different light after the assassination of Martin Luther King. Eric Wesselman and Scott Jordan are psychology professors at Illinois State University and are GLT's psych geeks, and they love zombies. Wesselman says what Romero created was never meant to be the scathing comment on race as the film now can be viewed.
Romero and many of his colleagues were very liberally oriented, and so they thought they were being progressive by not rewriting the script to make race an issue. Definitely afterwards and in subsequent movies, then he did start to take these sort of elements and weave them in more directly. He says that he wasn't trying to make any sort of allegory, although that is been debated back and forth.
He's lying.
Why would he be lying about that?
Land of the Dead is clearly a political statement. You've got the main character trying to hold himself up, a wealthy person, and of course the zombies become enlightened and ultimately crash in.
But did he start to make a political statement because his first film accidentally became a political statement?
It could be. I love the idea that he hired the best actor he could find. It's kind of tragic how we experience it now, given the events.
Yes.
At the same time, you can completely watch Night of the Living Dead as a political statement.
He said he wasn't trying to make an allegory for the first one. Subsequently, yes, politics was infused in all of that. But the very beginning one, he started writing it began as an allegory, the short story that he wrote, inspired by Richard Matheson's I Am Legend. Then when they started making the film, then most of the allegory sort of got kicked to the side, and most of the decisions that were made that we all read into now were practical. But yeah, after that, he kind of just went for it politically.
And with gore as well. Was it really ahead of its time, really, with gore? And was he trying to make a statement with the way he used gore in this and the way humans react to it?
Well, he was part of a generational cohort that, you know, Scorsese and such, using gore in ways shock value, but also to make cultural statements about our culture and how violent it was. So, I mean, he was part of that cohort. That generation of directors came in and used gore, and I think they were doing it for political reasons.
When they were writing this film, I mean, a lot of it, of course, was budgetary. So they're like, okay, we have to make humans the monsters, right? Because we can't afford to have actual good, you know, suits and special effects.
So that's why they're zombies and not like gorillas with tentacles or something.
Yeah, yeah. And they decided, well, if the premise is that the dead are coming back to life and eating the living, then let's not shy away from it. Let's just show the gore. And about that time, you started having more gore in horror films in general, too, that some of it was political, but in a lot of it, it was just exploitative, right? So Blood Feast and things like that. And so they just went for it.
So Romero really changed how we view what a zombie is. I mean, previously in older films, zombies were basically like Haitian enslaved corpses or ghouls of some sort. And what Romero did was to take these characters, these zombies, and made it so that they are flesh-eating, virus-spreading ghouls, essentially. So he got the whole flesh-eating thing. He got the whole virus-spreading if you get bit by one. So he was sort of making up the mythology, a modern mythology for that.
He was also continuing the nuclear bomb fear.
Oh, so there was a connection to that.
Because in the first one, they were brought back to life because of radioactivity, I believe from a satellite that came back to the Earth. So it's almost as if, you know, you have all your 50s movies, them and all these big monsters mutating because of radioactivity. And it's like, well, what if humans were to mutate? So he's at the cusp of the radioactivity sort of scare. And then after that, it becomes the virus.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at this from different ways because a lot of, you know, media theorists, et cetera, have talked about the films reflecting the cultural mythology. And I think Romero and colleagues would certainly argue they were influenced by that. I mean, so when they were trying to figure out, A, did they need a reason for the dead, and the group was divided, the ones who said, yes, we do, they settled upon the radiation one because of the reason Scott just talked about. As the films continued, though, and they were very clear to say when they were talking about the film that radiation is the most likely, but not for sure, the reason. And then as Romero went on in his subsequent films, when they started talking about viruses, those all came from the mouths of the scientists. But some of the main characters that Romero was sort of riding through, ultimately he came down to it doesn't matter why. That was sort of Romero's view, right? But so in Dawn of the Dead, one of the main characters makes reference to voodoo and kind of is like, well, that's my reasoning. And then a scientist says, well, it's a virus. And then in Day of the Dead, one of the main characters is like, you know what? It could just be God. God could be punishing us. Any of these reasons are plausible, and in the end, it doesn't matter.
Certainly he was dealing with budgetary constraints with regards to creating his monster, but was Romero saying the monsters are really us? Because the zombies are people. Does Romero feel that real monsters are walking by us day after day?
Most sci-fi ends up creating some fantastical world where we can safely look at our inner demons. The advantage of picking something like zombies, I guess later when the gait is clear, when the way they walk can allow you to discriminate them from a distance, but in the opening scene of Night of the Living Dead, she has no concept of a zombie, and he walks right up to them. You have to learn that they're not human. Research in artificial intelligence looks at how much can something look human and we still like it. And there's this area between 50% and 100% likeness where we actually don't like it. So as something comes to look closer and closer to human, and we can tell that it's not, we actually like it less and less. So zombies hit that sweet spot. I don't know that Romero was working at all in the Uncanny Valley, but, you know, he was working in how can I make these things like us but not like us. And then Walking Dead, of course, that's completely what they do throughout the entire series is, what are they? What are we?
Eric, why don't you weigh in on that?
Yeah, the question of who is the monster and who is us in Romero has multiple layers, right? Romero has said multiple times in interviews, even his characters in these films have said, they're us, right? So the zombies are us, you know, in some sort of weird, squishy liminal space, right? It's almost like a continuum. But the zombies are a lot like us, but not. They're really more of a force of nature, if we want to talk about sort of monsters as in actual evil villains, right? I mean, they're just like, they're sharks, they're predators that don't really know what they're doing besides instinct most of the time. That changes in later films. But the true monsters with a capital M, right, the evil ones are us literally in the films. That he shows these microcosms of humans and breaking down under this threat. And so the nasty humans, or the people who have maybe some sort of nasty tendencies, those are brought out. So the monsters really are the humans. And the zombies really are the humans in a paradoxical way.
Well, 50 years after Night of the Living Dead, we still love our zombies. And, of course, we have The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead that are still enormously popular. How have the zombies changed, Scott, since Romero? What are they reflecting in our society today?
Fortunately for us, they didn't change much in the formula about what a zombie is in The Walking Dead. They're still slow, and I think that completely matters. Now, there are people that write zombie stories with fast zombies, and as a writer, that doesn't let the tension persist. It's just they catch you and you're done. So in the slow zombies, you can just have to make sure you don't get trapped. And so The Walking Dead, they've all been slow zombies. What they did in the first four or five seasons of The Walking Dead was examine the different ways that human beings would deal with the infection that they derive from zombies. Season three or four, it's not a spoiler by now, but there's a scene where this bad group of humans becomes cannibals, and they capture this guy and they eat his leg, and then he laughs at him before he dies because he's been infected, right? So that's something straight out of the comic books. You know, that's Kirkland examining what are the different kind of weird things that would happen with people as they live in this new space with these things called zombies and this infection. So the first five seasons or so, there was a pretty stable group. They were lost in the woods. And it was exploring, you know, you had a zombie in a well. All these kind of, they had to get it out.
Oh, that old trope.
It was infecting the water. I mean, just, you know. And then after a while, the bad guys really do become the humans. And to be honest, it becomes a bit boring.
Well, Romero once said he saw The Walking Dead as a soap opera with an occasional zombie.
Kirkman did and has sort of become the cultural expert on zombies, and he's writing stuff that Romero never thought of. Again, in the comics, you see the emergence of types of human cultures that might come to be after 2 or 3 years of this sort of apocalypse. And I got to say, it's pretty clever. Right. Again, I don't want to spoil. I don't know how you feel about that for someone who hasn't read the comics, but there's some really interesting stuff.
Well, obviously, I can't speak for Romero beyond what he had written. If you look at the evolution of his over the six Dead films that I believe it's six that he made, zombies were always there. Granted, they were originally a force of nature, but at the end of day, I mean, there's really this debate of, can we fix the zombies? And he then sort of started going into, well, how do we coexist with them? But the zombies are always there and always an important plot point, not just something right. to come in and be gore, right? So there are always characters in each of these subsequent films that are trying to question, are the zombies still human? Can they be brought back? Can they be trained so that we can, if we can't get rid of them, and you can't right. in Romero's films, I mean, it does, even if you're not bitten.
Even if you whack him in the brain?
Well, you can kill the zombies.
Okay.
But it's not just being bitten. In Romero's films, you find out that anyone who dies will be
a zombie
eventually.
Yeah, that's how it plays out in Walking Dead.
Okay.
All the dead come back.
Yeah, so you have to coexist, right? Because, or you have to destroy one another.
So what's he saying here about society? You know, that the Republicans view the Democrats as the zombies, or the Catholics view the Protestants as the zombies, or what's
or
going on
versa.
Here? Or vice versa. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's in-group, out-group. You could very much read it that way.
Yeah, I don't know if the politics I've seen in Romero have been rich versus poor. Then in the first one, you can interpret it as race, very more militantly focused humans versus more, let's figure out what the zombies are. Let's figure out if they're still human. Can they be saved? And I got to argue, Romero's actually done that more in his movies than they did in The Walking Dead. They had one season maybe in The Walking Dead where there was a doctor who was actually trying to figure out if the zombies had memories. And after that, they stopped that, which I thought was ridiculous. I thought that was a really cool line they should have followed and could have explored. I don't think they knew what to do with it. And then they basically created more and more human-on-human violence. And I have to admit, it's been kind of boring.
It sounds like we have a lot to learn from dealing with the zombies. Maybe a way we could transfer this to our real lives?
Yes.
Yeah, check your unconscious expectations. Yep. That's something we say in every one of these, right? We think that people aren't supposed to be zombies. But suddenly when they are, either reorganize your expectations or go down.
That's Scott Jordan and Eric Wesselman, professors from Illinois State University's Department of Psychology and GLT's Psych Geeks. I'm Laura Kennedy.